Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Now, I am a believer. Welcome back to another episode of Jamie D and Big Newt. You know by now that I'm Jamie D'Amico, and if you don't know that he's Big Chris Newton, where have you been? But fortunately, if you're listening right now, you already know who he is. Big man, how are you feeling after a Monday night win against the San Francisco 49ers?
Man, I feel awesome. I'm a little bit hoarse because, once again, I've given free advertising to Tito's. I had my Tito's last night, and I've been yelling all weekend, and it continued last night, man. Last night was awesome, man. That was a great game.
That was, and it was really a complete victory from top to bottom, offense, defense, special teams, and especially the coaching. Man, we've heard the rumblings about Sean McDermott being a conservative coach. There was nothing conservative about the decisions that were being made in that game, were there?
Not at all, man. To be able to go for it on fourth downs, I love it. And, I mean, they had a good goal line stance, too. And like I said, the beginning of the game was awesome, man. And I tell you, my hat's off to the coaching staff, man. Forget punts, man. Forget bass kicking. Hey, we're going for it on fourth down, man. We're going to try to put it on the offensive line and punch it in.
And what does that say to the team when head coach is deciding we want to go for it in the situations that they did? Like, how do the players feel when they see a coach who's letting it all hang out like that?
I think, if anything, it's a testament to their faith into Josh Allen. I know the offensive linemen love it. They get little to no glory. And I know, especially with the Bills, they've been getting bashed all year. But getting Feliciano back, we're a whole new unit. I wish we could run the football a little better than what we do. But I tell you, man, Allen had all day to throw the ball on most occasions yesterday. And when he did get out the pocket and extend the plays, he usually found Diggs or my boy Beasley. So, I mean, it was just an all-around game. And to answer your question, it makes the offensive line, it makes the fat guys feel real good that you're putting it on them.
The fat guys. But that's amazing.
NFL players aren't really fat. They're more muscle. But when you talk about like high school players and stuff, and maybe some college kids, it's more the fat guys. I mean, come on. You know.
Okay, sure. And your boy Beasley, as you mentioned, career day, 9 receptions, 130 yards. He had himself a first half in that game. It looked like he was the Bills' entire offense for a little while. He just catches everything. And the Niners, super physical team, and when he came off the field after taking a big hit, after getting a really big gain, it was like a 30-yard gain, I was concerned. They said, oh, but they're checking him for a potential head injury, and I'm thinking to myself, no, this is not what they need right now. It's great to see him come back in the game, but the 49ers, they were laying the lumber on both offense and defense.
They were, man. And coming into the game, the 49ers, I know they're riddled with injuries, but their defense was still their staple. And they were out there. They still have one of the better pass defenses in the league. And it's like we didn't even run away from them, man. We threw for almost 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. A very efficient day from Allen. And we didn't shy away from it, because most of the times if they had a good pass defense, we'd be like, okay, we got to run the football. Let's establish run. No, we still went out there and threw the ball 40 times against one of the best pass defenses in the league. So I feel like on a national stage yesterday, you really had to let people know and take notice of what Josh Allen and this offense could do. We're going to hang 30 points on whoever. So bring whoever, it doesn't matter.
And Josh Allen, 32 for 40, four touchdowns, 375 yards, no interceptions, one sack. And man, did he get lit up on that sack. It was a great day. This is probably his best day as a pro. I think you can comfortably say that. And it just seemed like when the Bills were moving the ball, especially in the second half, it was just inevitable. They were going to score. The 49ers didn't look like they had any answers for the Bills' passing game. They played zone defense, and Allen lit them up. They played man-to-man, more of the same. It was just, I don't know if I've ever seen Josh Allen be so calm and just play within himself the entire game. There were really only a couple of plays where he seemed to kind of force the issue, and even then, there was nothing egregious. There were plays when it wasn't there, he threw it away. And that's exactly what you want to see from him. And the stats actually reflected a guy who his adjusted completion percentage for the game was 85%. And adjusted completion percentage accounts for throwaways and dropped passes. Great game from this guy.
Yeah, man, and once again, like we've been saying, we keep it a running tally on how many times he looks like the franchise quarterback, man. And I tell you, the pros outweigh the cons when you look at this at this point. Now, I mean, it's at a point now, and I want to tell a quick story. I was talking to my boy Joe Johnson, who I always tell you, you know, played with the Saints. We're texting back and forth as well. I was texting with you and Seth. And I said, Joe, man, what does this mean? You know what I'm saying? This reminds me of the Monday Night Football game in 1999 where the Saints played the Dallas Cowboys, okay? And Joe just gave it to the Cowboys, and he just gave it to Larry Allen. And John Madden called the game. I will never forget it. He was like, this is the, you know, coming out party of Joe Johnson. And that really pretty much put him on the map and put him in the Pro Bowl. And now with this performance, I mean, I don't know if he's in the MVP conversation anymore, but I feel like it solidified his Pro Bowl bid. You got to have this guy in the Pro Bowl now.
I think you're 100% correct about that. I mean, who from the AFC could compete with him other than
Mahomes?
Well, you've got Roethlisberger, who's really good. You've got Mahomes, who's excellent. But who else?
And then it's Lamar. But at this point, you would put Josh Allen in over Lamar.
I would certainly say so. He's having a much better season.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson is excellent, but he's playing for a terrible team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh Allen, I would bet that he's going to be there. Because at this point, okay, just off the top of my head, I'm going to say that the AFC Championship is going to be between the Chiefs and the Steelers. They're the two teams with the best records. So you assume that one of those quarterbacks is not going to be playing in the Pro Bowl because they'll be in the Super Bowl.
True.
Yeah, and that makes Josh Allen next in line.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can see that.
Speaking of which, the Steelers, they lost yesterday. They're no longer undefeated. They lost to the Washington football team. Did they have their clunker 1 week too soon?
I think so. It is hard, man, to keep the attention to detail and bring that kind of intensity week in and week out in the NFL. It's definitely made our job a little harder because now the coach is going to be yelling at them all week and tell them to focus, tell them, hey, we could be beat. So I kind of wish they were undefeated coming into our game, but I mean, they showed chinks in their armor, and if Washington could beat them, then why can't we make it two in a row?
Right. Well, you know, they don't look infallible. Like when the Patriots were undefeated that season where they, you know, lost one in the Super Bowl, they were blowing teams out. They were absolutely destroying opponents. They hung like 56 on the Bills that year. And the Steelers aren't doing that. They're winning close games, and there's definitely something to be said about that. You know, the ability to win a close game says a lot about a team, but at the same time, they don't look dominant like you'd expect an undefeated team to look. They look like a team that could have more losses than they do. Whereas when the Patriots were undefeated at this point, everybody was saying the same thing. Like, well, God, will they ever lose? Because they just don't look like they have any weaknesses.
Yeah, I can see that. The Steelers, I mean, they lost their Pro Bowl linebacker.
Bush?
Yeah. I'm sorry. And, yeah, so they lost him, so that's going to make a week. But they got a little baby Watt over there, and he's causing havoc. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm just happy we had a good showing on the national stage, you know what I'm saying, last night. Mm-hmm. That's what really felt good, you know what I'm saying? We want to show people that we're for real and we're to be reckoned with, and I know a lot of people don't get a chance to watch Buffalo. So a lot of people saw us last night, and we took care of business. I mean, we did what we were supposed to do against the team we were supposed to do it against.
I want the teams in the NFC to start saying, oh, geez, that's not a team we want to face if it comes time, it comes down to the Super Bowl. Is it too early to talk about that?
Yes.
Can we say after such a convincing win and the team looking like they're improving later in the season, is it too soon to talk about the Bills in the Super Bowl conversation?
It's a little too soon for me, but if you did, I wouldn't like if fans want to do it, Bills Mafia want to do it, I'm okay with it. It's a little too soon for me. We still got a lot of work to do. Once again, 9-3, we're above where I would have predicted we would want to be at. I'm definitely happy. But we got the Steelers this week, okay? So can we put two good games together? I mean, we're supposed to have, at this point, we should have 6 wins in a row, I think, except for the Arizona loss. And you can find solace in the fact that we dominated the best league in football, okay? We should be 4-0 against the NFC West. We're a Hail Mary away, a fluke play away from being 4-0 against the best team in football. So you can look at it and feel pretty good. But we got the Steelers this week. Then you got to beat Denver, all right? And then, I mean, the Patriots, man, you see what they did to L.A.? I mean, they whooped L.A. the other day. So, I mean, then we finished with Miami. So, I heard Sal say this morning that if we beat the Steelers and Miami loses, then we could clinch the division against Denver. I would love that. I would love the fact that we could have the division no matter what the Patriots and the Miami game is. You know what I'm saying? I would love to be ordering my AFC East champion 2020 season champion t-shirts in 2 weeks.
Triple XL, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would love to be doing that. So, but yeah, I mean, we got a lot of work to do. I do like the fact that Milano played and he made some big plays. Tremaine Edmonds looked like the old Tremaine Edmonds. He made a wonderful goal line stop. That was a wonderful individual effort. Our defense, we stymied a running team that people thought that would run all over us. I mean, I believe that we had more rushing yards than them, didn't they? No. They had 86 yards and we had 81. So we timed their running and tagging. They really couldn't do much, man. Mullins threw for about 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, but he threw a couple of picks. So we held them in check and we had a comfortable win. So let's go out here and show well against the Steelers, beat Denver, and then, you know, get the division. And then whatever happens with New England and Miami, so be it. But I'm not talking about Super Bowls just yet.
Yeah, well, you know, going back to the division, and it would behoove the Bills to take care of business against the Steelers because 3 of the Bills' next 4 games are going to be on short rest. That doesn't do a team any favors. NFL teams are notoriously bad when they have short rest compared to the other team. Now, the Steelers did play Monday night as well. So they're also coming in on, you know, 6 days, the next game, and they have to play in Buffalo. So that is advantageous to the Bills. However, after that Denver game, you've got those games against the Patriots and the Dolphins that you really don't want to have to matter at this point in the season. Wrap it up. Miami has been hot lately. They just seems like they don't lose anymore. Yeah. So it, just in order to keep pace with them, you really want to hope that they drop a loss. Apparently, the magic number is 2 here. If the Bills win 2 and Miami loses 1, I guess that would make the magic number 3. But 2 Bills wins, 1 Miami loss, Bills win the division.
Yes.
I like being in that position.
Yeah, I agree, man. I want to just – because, and like you said about Miami, man, Tua got in the game, and he looked like a he looked like one of the best quarterbacks, man. He looked like a first-round pick, man. He threw for a ton of yards and looked comparable. So, yeah. I mean, they're biting – Miami's biting at our toenails. So, I mean, we got to go take care of business. So, if we can wrap it up, I would love to wrap it up instead of it going to week 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm. It's been a I know we've talked about this before, but it's been a fun season so far. And coming off the last few games, you know, the Bills lost to Arizona, but that was still a fun one. And if you're going to lose, it's kind of a fun way to go down, if there's a such thing. Taking care of business against the Chargers and then dominating the 49ers, who I was worried about. You know, you were texting me during the game and you're like, well, wait a minute. Well, actually, just before the game, the Vegas odds, because so many people were putting money on the Niners, that the Vegas odds went from Bills being a 5-point favorite to being a 1-point dog. And you ask the question, what does Vegas know that we don't? Apparently, the answer is nothing. Yeah. And, you know, the Bills played a great game. It wasn't without its warts. You know, the offensive line, as you already mentioned, they were not opening up running lanes. And they still seem to give up yardage in chunks, especially when the 49ers went to the hurry-up offense. The Bills seemed to not have any answers on defense. And, you know, one play in particular on the offensive line that bothered me was it was a third down play. It was 3rd and 1. The Bills ran the ball to the left-hand side of the line with Zach Moss. And before the play was even over, 4 of the Bills' offensive linemen were on the ground, and there were no defensive linemen on the ground. It was just Bills blockers laying there. And I'm looking at it thinking, that's not how you do it, guys. Then the Bills went for it on 4th and 2, passed the ball, which I didn't see coming, got the first down, ended up scoring. So when it comes to the game against Pittsburgh, what do you see them working on this week?
We have to definitely work on our running game. When Moss got his number called and he had that crucial fumble in the first quarter, I feel like we kind of went away from him, because remember when Singletary, he got hurt, and then so we tried to give it to Moss and he fumbled, and I think he got kind of banged up, and then Singletary came back in and he didn't show any signs of anything lingering. That was Moss' opportunity to do something and he fumbled it. So we can't put the ball on the carpet. So we need to really work on securing the ball and not fumbling, and we definitely got to work on our running game. But hopefully if we get John Brown back, I mean, our offense is going to be even more explosive. And also, Milano obviously is on a pitch count, and I'm all good with that, because the way we used him, I mean, he had some crucial rushes on the quarterback. He played well on third down packages. So just continue to get healthy and work on the running game.
Yeah, Sean McDermott has made it very clear that he will not tolerate fumbling this year. When Singletary fumbled, he was done against the Chargers. McDermott took him out, and he didn't see the light of day the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to take Moss out in the first quarter of the game and not put him back in basically the rest, he's trying to get a message across. And I hope it doesn't rattle Moss's confidence, because a lot of times with a rookie, after they fumble, what you do is you put them right back in, you hand them the ball, you say, hey, man, we believe in you. Right. Now, we're talking about a guy who literally never fumbled in his college career. And the one he sort of put on the ground initially, he was down when he let go of the ball. It looked like he kind of hurt his knee a little bit on that play.
Right.
And the one where he did fumble after the Bills' big fourth down stop, he didn't drop the ball so much as he just wasn't paying attention and closed his arms too early, which was a strange thing to see.
Yeah, that was awkward.
Yeah. I wonder if Josh Allen was handing him the ball a little too high or whatever that was. Maybe there was some sort of strange miscommunication there, but it wasn't your typical fumble.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I was surprised that he didn't get back in the game. But obviously, McDermott wanted to send a message. And hopefully, Moss received it and grows from it and doesn't lose confidence there, because I think they need him on the field. I think the stutter step that Devin Singletary tends to do in the backfield, I don't think it works behind this offensive line. I think you need to hit the hole a little faster, because they really haven't shown the ability to hold their blocks very long when it comes to the run. Now, speaking of the offensive line, we've mentioned them a few times without mentioning that Brian Winters was sent to the bench for this game. And in fact, he didn't start, even though the Monday Nighters, when they mentioned the lineup, they did mention that Winters was in there. Ike Butker got the start at left guard, moving John Feliciano over to right guard.
Yep.
And man, it seemed like the pass blocking was way better.
Yeah, I agree, man. And Winters, man, I tell you, ever since that Epinesa, you know, ran through him back in the back in the training camp, man, I feel like he'd never been right. No, I'm just playing, man. No, Winters, I mean, they obviously like Buttinger, man, and so he slides into the left guard and moving over Feliciano, who I feel like has been playing the best out of everybody. I feel like that's probably what they want to go with. And I feel like Feliciano came out the game yesterday, and I think Winters went in. So
yep.
I guess he's the designated swing guy at this point. So I did notice that while watching the game.
Mm-hmm. And fortunately, Feliciano came back in the game after a little while. They were looking at his knee initially. But yeah, there were a couple of scares yesterday. And, you know, the Bills players seem to rebound, but, you know, I'll say it again, those 49ers can hit. And it reminded me an awful lot of the game the Bills played in Arizona many moons ago that basically ended Trent Edwards' career as a productive player.
Yep.
I had never seen a team so physically dominated as the Bills were against the Cardinals on that day. And I was a little concerned when I saw how even the running backs on San Francisco, the way they were finishing the runs, I was like, oh God, I hope this isn't the kind of game where the Bills end up folding because they're just not tough enough. Well, you know what? The defense hung in there and they delivered some licks of their own. And you mentioned that big hit by Edmonds on the goal line. Micah Hyde had a good hit on the goal line as well. Stood up a running back himself.
Yeah, he did, man. I tell you, it was an entertaining game. Once again, it was a little stress watching it. I never really felt like, even when we didn't score and they scored first, I never really felt scared. So it was very enjoyable to watch, man. It was hard-hitting, good plays. It was pretty clean for the most part. So it was enjoyable to watch, no matter, you know, whether it was for Bills Mafia because we won or just, you know, even if you're not a fan of either team. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people call me like, hey, that was a pretty good game. You know what I'm saying? So it was entertaining. Yeah.
After the Bills scored their second touchdown, it really never felt like the 49ers were a threat. And even at that point, it felt like the score should have been 21-0.
Right.
Because that first drive where the Bills didn't convert on fourth down, Lee Smith was open and Josh Allen threw it behind him.
Right.
And the touchdown that the Niners scored was because of that muffed handoff, which,
right.
I mean, that almost never happens. That score could have been much more lopsided in the Bills' favor. The Bills just dominated the game. The Niners didn't have any answers for the Bills' offense, and that was wonderful to see.
Yeah, I agree, man. And like I said, man, their defense is still what it is. So I don't feel like, oh, we just beat a scrubby team. I mean, the 49ers just got done beating the Rams. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I take it with that. And like I said, man, if you're a fan and you want to enjoy, hey, have, you know, thoughts of the Super Bowl and everything, it's kind of like me when I go into every Walmart every day and ask them for the PS5s. Every day I'll be thinking, oh, today's the day, and it feels wonderful. They'd be like, nope. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the lottery. I think we talked about that before. Like, you spend $10 on the lottery, you know you're not going to win.
No.
It just feels good when you just think about it, man. Oh, what happened? What would I say to my boss? What would I come home and say to my wife and kids? Like, you know, hey, just grab your bags. We're moving to Florida. We ain't packing nothing. They can have this crap. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
They can have the crap.
That's what you would say to your wife? You wouldn't say to your wife, I'm rich now, so I could get a much hotter woman. You're out of here.
No way. I'm loyal to a fault, man. I would never do that.
I know you're loyal to a fault. You've been friends with me after all these years and me trying to embarrass you in public and everything else.
Exactly. No, I would just, honestly, I would just come home and say, let's go. We're moving to Florida. Leave the car. Leave the clothes. We ain't packing up nothing. We don't need those rags. We don't need that junk. Like, all my most valuable possessions is like, no, I don't deal with that trash. How dare you ask me to move that stuff? You got to move it. So, but yeah, that's how it is. That's how you feel. You know what I'm saying? So,
do you remember the comedian or Norm MacDonald?
No, I don't know
him. Okay. He was doing the news on Saturday Night Live for a while. I always thought he was a really funny stand-up comedian, even before he joined SNL back in the 90s. And when he was early in his stand-up career, he was like, hey, I say you should get a dog to protect your most important valuables. You ever see how much dogs cost? That would be my most valuable possession. I'd have to get a dog to protect my dog.
Yeah, dogs are expensive, man. My daughter been wanting a dog for a while, man, and we looked into it. You know, my wife is very, like, contemporary. She really doesn't like pets. Everything is OCD. She likes everything in this place. But she's like, if Simone wants one, we'll look it up. So we looked at, you know, the dog prices and stuff, and it's like, oh, for this puppy is like $800, $900. And I'm like, man, I'll go to downtown Richmond and find a stray dog, man, and bring it home, man. That'll be free.
Well, you know, the thing is, I have found that dogs from shelters, especially when they're mixed breed, tend to make the best pets.
Yeah.
Unless they are in the shelter because they had like some sort of severe behavioral issue. But yeah, mixed breed dogs, they will love you like no other and be trainable at that. You know, my parents love their Shih Tzus and they pay too much money for them. Whereas some of the best dogs I've ever seen, just these ugly little mutts. But, you know, buying the dog is expensive. Wait till you start getting the vet bills.
Yeah. I have one of my good friends who I always talk to up in Seattle. He used to play for the Chiefs and the Steelers, Amon Sean Washington. He's like a high executive in a dog insurance company. And so he talks about that, and he got a couple of dogs. So I've never been really a pet person. I had a hamster that I won in sixth grade for winning the chess tournament. Yeah, I was a nerd, man. I won the chess. I was in the chess club. And so and I was only in it because it was like this girl I liked. So anyway, I won the chess tournament. So the grand prize was a hamster. And so I named it Robin. I took care of it for about a year. And then it started getting too big and sticking up the house. So my father told me one day that, you know, one morning that he died and they got rid of it. I think he just let it go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so I cried my ass off. Excuse my language, but I cried my ass off. And I just vowed to never have another pet again because it hurts so much. So,
oh, it's the worst. It's the worst when they die. It really is because, you know, people don't understand. You end up liking your pet more than you like most humans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even a lousy hamster. Sorry to put you down, but.
My next door neighbor, Miss Mabel, dude, she used to tell me, I used to like go over there and help her out, like, you know, shovel her grass, snow and mow her grass or rake her leaves and stuff. And she was older. And when I went off to college, I'd come back and visit. And she used to say, oh, yeah, man, I love my cats more than I love my kids. My cats, I mean, my kids don't come visit me. They don't call me. My cats love me. And I just see how many people feel that way, man. I'm like, whoa, like people really are into their pets. Like I had one friend, she took out a loan against her house to pay because her cat, I mean, her dog had cancer. And so to get these surgeries and stuff, instead of putting the dog down, she took out a loan against her house and had like doctor bills up to tens of thousands of dollars.
You know, and I never had any pets until later in life. And I couldn't understand that mindset until I finally had one. And I started with a cat, ended up with a dog later. And this cat, I ended up loving more than any human except for maybe my mom. Mm-hmm. And and then I ended up with a dog. And by the way, I ended up with a stray dog that turned out to be a husky collie mix, about a year old, and was one of the smartest and nicest animals I had ever met. It was pretty fantastic. So if you run across a stray, it's entirely possible that it could end up making a great pet for your daughter, Simone. But I got to shift gears a little bit here. We talked last week about how you were homecoming king. Were you the captain of your football team?
Yes.
You were the captain of your football team. You were homecoming king. You won a tournament, a chess club tournament, when you were in sixth grade. I'm wondering what other accolades you received in school. And then I have a follow-up question. So what else did you win?
Okay, I think we talked about this last week. We had a Valentine's Day dance. And I was king of that. And it was senior year. I was on the prom court, I feel like, every year. I was also in the band. I played the trumpet. And my freshman year, I was in the all-state band where they put all-star team, I guess, for a band. And they sent us to Florida, and we played. And I'm going to tell you, I remember exactly. We played at the grand opening of the Epcot Center at Disney World.
No.
Yeah, I swear, I got all the pictures, dude. Hilarious. And so that was the first time I ever went, like, out of town or whatever, anything like this. And we played for that. And we would play. That would be the band that played for the all-star game for football. So I made the all-star game in football my senior year, but I played in the band my freshman and sophomore years. So that's kind of cool. I was a U.S. Army Reserve Scholar Athlete of the Year. What else? I was the Sweetheart King in my college also my senior year.
You were obviously wildly popular in high school, especially.
Well, yeah, because I wasn't. I tell people this all the time. Please don't act like I'm like Joe Blow, like I had all the girls and stuff. I had no girls, and I think that's why everybody liked me. I wasn't really a threat to anybody. Like, no one had beef with me. Like, everybody liked me because I was no threat to anybody. Like, I had like no girls. I was just the guy that said hi to everybody. Kind of like me at the bar, you know, I just say hi to everybody. I talk to everybody. So
you received all of these accolades, and you played college football. You played in the Arena League. So I've got a kind of a difficult question for you.
Yes.
Do you think you peaked out in high school?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I would like to say I did well for myself, man. I mean, I went to college, got a couple of degrees. I mean,
yeah.
upper middle class neighborhood. I mean, I would like to think I did okay with myself. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just messing with you, dude.
It ain't like I still live in my mom. I'm not, you know, I'm not doing this from my mom's basement or anything. I mean, I don't I mean, damn, man. I mean, you know, I was one step away from my PhD. I taught at Florida State. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like my life is good. I ain't no crack rocks. You know what I mean? You act like I'm Delonte Weston it out here, like homeless. I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. I mean, God bless me. But I mean, I feel like I've done well for myself.
Really? Because last I checked, you were hanging out outside of a GameStop like all night long. Like, it sounds like life sucks for you, man.
Oh my god. Yeah, I guess that is bad. I'm out there with high school kids. Yeah, I can see that. That's fair.
Yeah, they're all smoking weed and you're so straight-laced, you're not even doing that.
I was by far the oldest person out there, so I guess my life is bad. But let me tell you something, man. I feel like, all right, can we talk about that? I'm glad you brought this up. The whole PlayStation thing now is like, it's like my life's mission. Like, me and my wife were talking about it yesterday. She's just like, why don't you just order it, you know, I mean, not order it, but why don't you just order it off eBay, you know, and pay the $1,000? I said, no, I refuse to do that. I want to get it for $4.99. It's like my life's mission now to get it in a store, and whether I got to camp out for it or go in there and harass associates, like what happened yesterday. Oh, I didn't even tell you about that.
No,
you
know, tell me.
I went to Walmart here in my neighborhood, right? And so it was this website where you could see the inventory, and since they shut it down, but it shows that, oh, this Walmart has this many PlayStation 5s. It's like a, you know, the dark web, you know, website.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And so we all ran up there. It was about 30 people up there like, oh, this app says that y'all got them. And so this lady started yelling at us and everything. And then I was like, why are you yelling at us? We're just asking questions. Dude, this lady, once I started talking, she called the police. And so like,
what?
So like, oh yeah, I should have taped it. And so like 10 police came up there. And so it was me and this one guy. And one guy, once the police came, he looks like the dude from Saturday Night Live with the curly hair, the white dude with the glasses and curly hair. That's what he looked like. And so, he was talking to him and stuff. He's like, I just think that's, you know, he's going off or whatever. And obviously, I can't say nothing because I'm a big black guy, and I know they just wait for me to say something. They want.
Oh God, yeah, they got one. They see you. They got one hand on their gun.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So they're waiting for me to pop off. I'm just sitting there. I ain't saying nothing. And so she talks to him for like 5 or 10 minutes. And then she's like, "And you, sir?" And I knew it. I'm like, she's waiting to talk to me because he was first. I was second. And so she's waiting to get to me. And I was like, oh, I'm looking for a tripod, ma'am. I don't even know what these people are talking about, right? And so she goes back and talks to the sales. So like, no, he was yelling at me. He was doing this and that. And everybody like, no, he wasn't. We was all just sitting there asking questions about the PS5. I didn't say nothing. I didn't engage in the police at all because I could tell that that's what they wanted. Like, that they like, dude, you came up in Walmart 10 deep. Really? I'm like, are you serious right now? You know what I'm saying?
They're saying you came in with a mob?
That's literally what they did, dude. No, I'm talking about them. They called the police and everything.
Oh, they came 10 deep.
They came 10 deep with police. Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah. And so, anyway, yeah, it's that serious, dude. So.
Well, you know, I had the police called on me at a Best Buy once.
How?
Well, I was buying a cord for my computer, and it was like $12.99. And when I got up to the desk, it was it rang up as like $35. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't the right price. And the guy at the register is like, oh, well, let me call someone, and he did. And it wasn't hearing from them. So he calls them again and wasn't hearing from him. He's like, you know what? They must be with the customer. Let me run back and check on it. I'm like, okay, sure. Thank you. I appreciate it. He's gone like 10 minutes. So I'm already waiting 10 minutes. And I'm like not feeling well. I got a cold or something. So I turn around and I lean my butt up against the counter. And I'm sitting there for a minute, and then I'm sort of like, hey, you know what? This is butt height. I'm just going to slide myself onto it. And this woman comes walking by, and she goes, get off of that counter. You can't sit on that counter. What the heck are you doing? What do you think you are? I'm like, why can't I sit here? I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here. And she gets all like head swivelly with me. And she's like, cause it ain't a chair. And I'm like, oh, okay. So she walked away. I sat back down. Well, she came back with the police. She came back with the police, and the police officer is like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just waiting for a price check. And she's like, well, you get down onto the floor and you're behind the register and you don't belong. I'm like, I'm not behind the register. But yeah, I stood up and I'm like, okay, but see how different it is? I can have the police called on me at a retail store in a minority neighborhood, Columbia Heights, D.C., and I get one old, frail-looking police officer coming to talk to me. You get 10 people called on you, and you didn't even say anything.
Yeah, in the upper middle class area, you know, yeah, I get 10 of them called on me, dude. So at least that makes me feel safe. I mean, at least I know the police are coming, they call, but I just like... The lady was totally out of line. And once again, man, these people in these retail stores, they're going through a lot right now with COVID and with this PS5 stuff, and they don't have enough for everybody. So I get it. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, she was totally out of line. But
I wonder what happened during the day leading up to that moment.
Yeah. I'm sure this was like 8 o'clock last night. It was right before the game, actually, because – when we first got up there, she was like, oh, yeah, because the guy was like, yeah, this website said, yeah, I got at least 6. She was like, no, we have 4, but I can't find them. And we like, all right, then we'll wait. Like, you know, we'll wait for you to find them, because how you going to just not have 4? You know what I'm saying? So she comes back after about 30 minutes, and now more people come. And she was like, I told y'all that we ain't had none. I was like, you didn't tell us you had none. You said you couldn't find 4. You know what I'm saying? So then you could tell she kept going kind of back and forth to the back. And so she got some dude that she obviously told to put on the assistant manager job. Cause we were like, can we see your manager? He's like, sure. And so she went back and got this dude, and he come out with assistant manager. I knew he wasn't assistant manager. I could tell the way he walked up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, are you the assistant manager? He didn't say nothing. I'm like, are you the assistant manager? He's like, yeah. And yeah, well, she's training me. And I'm like, well, hell, you ain't the manager then. She's training you. I was like, man, y'all full of crap. So the whole time I was feeling like they had the 4 in stock. They was probably holding them for other workers, because you could kind of see people kind of lurking around. You know what I'm saying? They were kind of walking back and forth. They was all kind of in the area. She run over in the corner and kind of talked to them. So I think, honestly, I think she was holding them for 4 of the employees. You know what I'm saying? And so I tried on it. I was like, you're a damn liar. Forget that. And that's when she called the police.
Wait, you called her a liar?
Yeah. Because I told Charles, or whatever, that's the name that was on the name tag. I was like, you're not an assistant manager. You all are lying right now. You told me you have 4, and now you say you can't find them, and now they're not there. I was like, you all are lying. You know what I'm saying? And so going back to what we were saying, I know we kind of got off topic, is now I'm making this my life. Like, I'm not trying to brag enough, but I could go buy it off eBay right now. But my life mission is to get it, even if I got to camp out for 2 days to get it. So I know that might seem like a loser thing. I get it. I've never done anything like this before, but it's like COVID. It's like, you know, ain't got nothing else going on. Let's just, you know, try to get it that way. I want it for $500.
I got to be honest. There's, to me, honestly, there's nothing loser about it. It shows how much you care about your kids and what you will do to make Jalen happy. And it's really nice, actually. And anybody who knows you knows how big your heart is, and that you do it for that reason, and not because you're like some old stoner who wants to eat Doritos and play video games all day long.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that, because now going back to what you said before, do you feel like you peaked out? I mean, because I put the articles of stuff and me being homecoming king and all that stuff, because we was talking about the goal line stand last week.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Somebody was like, yeah, man, Al Bundy. I was like, yep, them three touchdowns at Polk High, man. I was like, yep, that's me.
You know? That was the Riverfish, our boy.
Yeah, man. I'm like, yep, that's me. I'm Al Bundy. You know, now you might catch me with a Tito sitting on the couch with my hands in my pants. You know what I'm saying? So,
And by the way, that was a super funny comment.
It was hilarious, man, and I love it. You know, just like somebody tried to give you the business on Twitter too, and you at me to comment. I'm like, what you say about my mama?
Right. Referring to me as your mother?
No, I'm just, that's what people say. They was like, what you say about my mama? Like when somebody try to crack on you, you know?
Yeah, I know. And you pretended I was your mama. No, I'm just kidding. I know. I'm kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time left and right today.
You are. You're just kicking me in my gonads, man. I'm glad to see more balls in your punching bag. Jeez.
Yeah, man. You're my speed bag today.
Yep.
So let's go back to the Bills for a minute here. So how do you feel about this team moving forward? There's four games left. We're three quarters of the way through the schedule. What?
We just need to win two of the last four. We need to win two of the last four. It would be great to win Pittsburgh and Denver and be done with it. But just beat Denver and win one between the Patriots, Miami, preferably, or Pittsburgh. So I can see us going 3-1, at worst 2-2. I don't see us going 1-3 at all unless Josh Allen doesn't play. So I feel really good for the rest of the season, man.
So who are the two teams that they're going to beat?
Denver won for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say the Patriots.
Okay.
I'll say the Patriots.
But it's as good a guess as any.
That doesn't mean I don't think we could beat Pittsburgh. But if I had to put – I'm not a betting man, but if I had to put money on it, I would say Denver for sure, and then New England – we might drop it against Pittsburgh, and then the Miami game won't mean anything. We'll rest our starters.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
After that year where Wes Welker got injured in the first half of a meaningless game right before the playoffs, the Patriots were hurting after that, and I don't ever want to see that happen to the Bills. So I think we should wrap up here. I think we should be – what's that?
I said most definitely, man. We got football practice, man. 11U football, we're headed – I don't know if you see it on Twitter. We're headed to Naples, Florida next week, playing for the FBU National Championships, man. So we got practice, man. We got to get to work.
Yep, got to get to work. And by the way, watching some of those video clips online, seems like all of the kids out there, they play a little too upright.
I agree.
I'd love to see them drop their seats a little lower, a little more knee bend. They'd have much better leverage.
I totally agree, man. We emphasize that every day in practice, man. Kids don't want to bend.
Anyway, I want to thank very sincerely everybody who joined us for this episode of Jamie D and Big Newt. I can't wait to talk to you again next week, and I know you can't wait to hear the stories from the big man here. So, Big Newt, give us our song.
I forgot to mention this 2 weeks ago, man, but Cornelius Bennett and Steve Tasker, it's time for them to be in the Hall of Fame, man. Let's get them in, dude. Steve Tasker is one of the best all-time special teams player. Let's get them in.
And my all-time favorite Buffalo Bill.
Oh, yeah. And as usual, hey, 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 hey.